Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, May 5th, 2008. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, your choice for the largest selection of natural and organic cosmetic spaces in the world. From now until May 15th, with every online order over $200, excluding shipping, enjoy a credit of all of your shipping costs back to your customer account. And with gas prices being what they are these days, you know that's a great benefit. Of course, some limitations apply, so check out the details and place your order today at EssentialWholesale.com. Well, I'm back from my trip with my husband and business partner to Vermont last week, where we shot a promotional video for our client, the Handcrafted Soapmakers Guild. Check out their website at soapguild.org for the latest in the soapmaking industry. The conference was fantastic, well-organized, fun, and since it was at a culinary institute, the food was also amazing. If you're ever looking for a fun place to retreat, maybe ski a little, check out the Inn at Essex in Burlington, Vermont. While I was there, I got to meet tons of IBN members from all around the country. People I have worked with for years but never seen face-to-face. What a treat that is. Check out IndieBusinessBlog.com to see some of the snapshots of me with some of the wonderful indie business owners I met. I'm also so excited to report that I'm featured in the May issue of Working Mother magazine. They interviewed me several months ago for their Entrepreneur Mom Ask a Pro department, and I included my tips for turning a pastime or hobby into a profitable career. I hope you'll check that out on your newsstands now, and I'm honored to be included. And speaking of favorable PR, that's what today's show is all about. And joining me to offer her expertise in this area is Margie Zabel Fisher. She is the author of the Do-It-Yourself Public Relations Kit, and she's also a contributing writer to Entrepreneur.com. Margie has helped hundreds of professionals, small and medium-sized business owners and managers achieve positive results through her workshops and materials. She joins us here on Indie Business Radio from her home in Boca Raton, Florida. We'll take your questions and comments. Do join us, 800-773-0355, or you can email your questions to me at info@indiebusinessradio.com. Welcome to the show, Margie.
Thank you, Donna. Thanks for having me.
Well, of course, it's wonderful to have you, and we are really going to pick your brain today and get your expertise in this fabulous issue of area of PR and how important it is to all of us as indie business owners. But first, Margie, can you give us a little bit of a background on how you started your business?
Sure. Let's see. Do you want me to go back to college, or do you want me to talk about my work history? You tell me.
No, I'm guessing, I know I read from your bio that you have attended college, and I know you've probably had some experience in the PR world before actually starting your business. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about how you came to actually being an entrepreneur, because that's what you are.
Okay, great. Well, first of all, I'm one of those people that believes that some people are born entrepreneurs, and I think I always was an entrepreneur, but I didn't realize that or didn't feel comfortable embracing that till about 7 years ago when I started my business.
Mm-hmm.
So I will say that I always had that inclination. However, I grew up in a family where I was the only person who went to college, and I ended up working for a big company out of college, and that was sort of the holy grail. And I put a lot of time in at big companies prior to starting my business, as well as a small company or two. But basically, I was fortunate to get a really great background in sales, marketing, and PR working for large companies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happened that the people we targeted in those positions were small business customers. So I was lucky to get small business experience through the small business customers we worked with. But I can tell you the God's honest truth, and I don't know if I've ever told anyone this before, is that I basically taught myself PR.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't major in it.
That you talk about getting a lot of experience at a big business. And many of my listeners, of course, you know, have been or maybe even are in the same position. They're working for a company, paying the bills, but they have a dream of starting their business on the side. Margie, what was that transition like for you?
I was very fortunate. When I had worked for a couple of big companies, and I had a couple of severance offers when I didn't want to make a move. Usually they'd wanted me to move somewhere else. I didn't want to move. And then I got a severance package. So I'd put that money away. And right before I started this business, one of those opportunities came about, and I put away, say, maybe $20,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically what I needed, along with my husband's encouragement, to say, okay, I have some money in the bank. I know cash flow is probably the number one issue, at least from what I had, you know, talked to all these business folks about and, mm-hmm. and studied. So I was lucky to have that
right.
when I started business, because we all know the first year is really tough.
Well, it's great that you've had your husband's support. That's such an important aspect of being successful. Would you agree?
Yeah, you know, actually my husband was the one who encouraged me to start the business. I had been working for, again, large companies. We moved around a lot. We had finally gotten to Florida, which we think is paradise.
Uh-huh.
And they wanted to move us again. And he said, you know what? You know, we really don't want to leave here, and you always want to start a business, so why don't you just do it? And I said, okay. So he had his steady job as a teacher, which really helped. At the time, we didn't have kids. Now we do. But it was really a great decision.
Now, what's it like, Margie, to be a mom and own and manage and grow and expand this business and keep track of all your clients at the same time?
Well, you know, I consider that I have two jobs. One is that I run a business, and the other is being a mom. Satya was just telling my daughter that yesterday. And I think that you really become super organized in ways you never thought you could be.
Mm.
You get things done in short amounts of time that you never thought you could do. So I think being a mom and having a business really makes you sort of live full out.
Well, and I'm sure that probably helps you to manage all your clients, because you have quite a few in a lot of different areas. So I'm going to ask you now, Margie, to tell us exactly what public relations is, because so many people hear the term public relations, PR, but they really don't know exactly what it is. What is it?
That's a really good question. My definition of PR is everything you do to have a certain kind of recognition in the community.
Everything you do. So that runs the gamut from what?
Yeah. My version of public relations is that pretty much PR touches almost every aspect of what you do in your business. So it's a very, very broad definition. But let me get a little more specific for people that might be scratching their heads saying, I don't know what that means. I think PR is everything from talking to someone in the supermarket and them finding out that you have a business where you're a retailer, you know, and they're like, oh, that's interesting, I'll come and visit you,
mm-hmm.
to working out at the gym and talking to people, to doing the formal stuff like newsletters and publicity and events and speaking engagements. There's a difference between what PR means and the tactical things that you do to get PR.
So PR is sort of a hodgepodge of different types of activities that reach you and your business out into the public?
Yes, in what the perception of you and your business is.
Wow, so that means that all indie business owners need to be really busy, not just manufacturing their products or getting their services ready, but also doing PR.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example of what people don't realize, like, for instance, I was just at Panera Bread a little while ago because I was between meetings, and they have free wireless Internet, right? So, you know, I'm sitting there, and I'm talking. You know, once in a while I talk to a few people there. There's a lot of us regulars. And I've actually, you know, people will see me doing work, and they'll hear me taking a call or two, and I've actually gotten clients that way.
Oh.
You know, people don't realize they could be just out and about, and what they're wearing, what they're saying, how they're presenting themselves, what their employees are doing on their off hours. You don't, I mean, I know it's frustrating to have to think about all this stuff, but, you know, when you're an indie business person, it's all about everything about you is your PR. Everything you do, you know, goes to building your reputation, and one wrong move can really destroy it,
mm-hmm.
and you need lots of right moves to continually remind people. So it's kind of an ongoing thing.
Now, Margie, it's really interesting what you were talking about. You know, we used to talk about putting our business hat on and putting our mom hat on and our person hat on. But what you're saying sounds like, you know, we just have one big hat if you're an indie business owner. There's no real transfer of responsibility. You're always on as everything.
We are. You know, to me, life is everything. I mean, these business hats, they're not hats. I mean, you know, I have moms. If I'm playing with my daughter and her friend and out with my daughter's friend's mom, you know, we'll talk business.
Right.
So, I mean, it isn't about, let me do this. You know, unfortunately, you know, fortunately, we don't have to be in a specific structure where we're like, okay, 9 to 5, we're on business. You know, after that,
right.
we're on this. We're lucky that we can attend our kids' games or do things, whatever, but maybe at night or weekends we're doing work or we're talking with people. It's all part of, you know, every day, every minute, it all blends together because I think business, your business should support your life, so therefore then your life should support your business.
Oh, that's such a great way to summarize that. So, Margie, you know, I talk with people who are confused about the difference between, even after all that you said, kind of about everything being connected,
yes.
do we still need to draw some distinctions between the activities when we pare them down to their lowest common denominator, like is something public relations, is
yes.
something marketing,
yes.
is something sales? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, let me get real specific for you. And I detail this in my book because I get this question all the time, especially the people that think they know the answer, and then they realize they don't. But, okay, first let me take advertising because advertising is very clear.
Okay.
Advertising is when you pay a certain amount of money to put a certain type of message at a certain time in a certain type of media. So it's very specific.
Okay, can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
I have a specific question about that, too.
Yeah, sure.
In today's global economy where everything depends so much on the Internet, a lot of times I see people either having a blog or even a radio show like this one where they're looking for guests or people to interview and they charge a fee for it.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me, you know, how does that, is that advertising? Is it editorial? Is it? It's like when you come on my radio show, there's no fee for a guest to appear on my radio show. This is
right.
not an ad, an hour-long ad. But I see that a lot, Margie, and how does that fit into this overall picture that you're describing?
Okay, well, your show right now, without a fee, is pure PR for me, okay?
Okay.
But if you did charge a fee, it would be advertising.
Okay, so like in your budget, you would you know, if you paid me $100 or whatever, it would be on a light item as advertising.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. You know,
so do listeners and consumers of these types of media need to understand that distinction? And I guess I'm really asking from the perspective of listeners who are small business owners, indie business owners on the show, when they are approached, who are listening to the show, when they are approached by bloggers or radio show hosts or TV show hosts or whatever it is, if there's a fee exchange that covers something other than, I don't know, you know, costs, I guess, basically for travel or something, is that something that they should be aware of in terms of how people who read that or see that will internalize it and receive it?
Yes. The best part of publicity, which is one of the types of PR, let me just give you the distinction. Publicity, let's say you want to buy a newspaper ad. You pay for a newspaper ad. You're a restaurant, and you buy an ad in the Friday paper, and you pay $1,000, and you get to put something in there, okay?
Right.
In that same section, there's a restaurant review. Okay? The ad that you paid $1,000 for is advertising. The restaurant review that somehow you got through to a reviewer and they came out and reviewed a restaurant, that's publicity.
Okay, so that's like strict PR.
Yeah, publicity is where you get media coverage, but you're not paying the media outlet for that coverage. You may pay a PR person to try and sell that story to the media, but you're not paying the media outlet per se for that coverage. And because of that, it's 1,000 times more credible because folks could be reading and they could see pages and pages of ads, but when they're reading a review or a story about someone, something that's a publicity and media coverage, it's much more credible because they know the media wasn't paid to cover that. The media determined it was good enough to write something about that.
It was like newsworthy.
Exactly. So
okay.
The payment options are different, the message is different, and the credibility is vastly different.
Great. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that word credibility. I think that's really key sort of to what you're describing in terms of reaching the public who are reading that magazine or listening to that show.
Yes.
We're going to take our first break and come back, and we're going to ask Margie some questions about how to get that PR. Anybody can buy an ad. You whip out your credit card, you buy an ad, you send them your graphic or your website address or whatever it is you're advertising, and there you are. But from a credibility perspective, as Margie says, you can do something that's far more effective, and we're going to pick her brain about that when we come back. Our toll-free number to call your comments or questions in to Margie is 800-773-0355. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking with Margie Zabel Fisher, and she is the author of the Do-It-Yourself Public Relations Kit and a contributing writer to Entrepreneur.com. And since we've got the do-it-yourself PR queen herself here on my very own radio show, I want you to call your questions in. This is a great opportunity to ask Margie some questions in person. 800-773-0355 is our number. So, Margie, before we took our first break, you were sharing with us your take on the credibility factor and how much more credible it is to have PR for your company as opposed to having advertising. So I'd like to ask you, Margie, for all of us who are, you know, wearing that one big hat that we talked about, and we're trying to keep our websites up to date, we're trying to get our products out the door and hone in our target market, how do we find time to do what your book says we can do, which is do this PR stuff ourselves? What do we do to get started?
Well, I usually give people a couple of things that they truly need to do on a foundation business level before they should do PR. And it's stuff that people don't want to do, but if they do, it makes things much easier and it saves people time.
Okay, well, when we don't want to do it, we know we need to. So
exactly. You're right on. So the first thing that I consider incredibly important would be making sure you have a very strong, unique selling proposition.
Okay.
And I'm not sure, is that something you've covered before or I should explain it? Or?
Please define unique selling proposition. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there's different definitions, but the primary one is really making sure you know and you communicate consistently what is truly unique, different, and really important about your product or service.
Okay. All right, so if you are a soap maker, say, for example, we all know what soap is, we all use it,
mm-hmm.
You need to do what?
Well, you need to figure out what makes you different from every other soap maker.
Okay.
And it could be, there's a bunch of different ways you can categorize this. One would be in terms of product. Perhaps there's not a product that is similar to yours in any way. Or maybe there's a different formulation or something eco-friendly, something like that. Mm-hmm. Another might be the way people can find you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, perhaps, well, I don't know if everyone here has retail locations, but maybe there's certain online sites where they can find you. Maybe you're an exclusive on something really big.
Right. I do have retail stores too, Margie.
Oh, okay, great. Well, sometimes it's location.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you could have a New York City, you know, incredible location that people come to from all over the world.
Right.
You know, there's lots of different ways you can differentiate yourself, but most of the time, people can't do that. It's really a problem. It's the first thing I ask a new client, what's
mm-hmm.
your USP? And if they don't know what USP is and I explain it to them, mm-hmm. they're still confused.
Now, and does that make it more difficult because when it's time to contact an editor at a magazine, that's what they're going to say. Well, what's so special about it? And if you can't answer that question, then they're going to move on to the next thing. Is that why?
In fact, it happens all the time. You know, I try and explain that to customers or clients,
uh-huh.
and then when I'm talking to the media, it's so funny. That happened to me the other day. I spoke to someone at Parents Magazine, and I was talking about a new eco-friendly baby line,
okay,
which sounds kind of cool and everything. The makers, the manufacturers thought it was very cool and different. And as typical as what will happen is the editor said to me, are you kidding? I get 100 of these a week. What's so great about it? You know what I mean?
Right.
So for them, you know, they're in a place where they're sort of the repository of all the different ones.
Uh-huh.
And you really have to cut through the clutter to get there. But it's not even just about publicity. It's really about promoting your product because, really, publicity is sort of the final program. Once you've figured out your USP, you really need your USP defined just to make your business successful because when you communicate everything to people, you need to communicate what's unique so they'll want to buy from you. Publicity is way past that.
And Margie, do you find that people who are working to turn a passion into a profitable business have a more difficult time wrapping their hands around this concept because they're having so much fun doing what they're doing?
Sometimes. Sometimes people are a little bit so involved in their product and they think it's so wonderful that they can't really see, well, what does the market think? What does the media think? You know, and you have to look at everything from a prospective client or a media perspective and say, well, you know, there's 100 things that could be sold. You know, why is this different, and why should I buy this instead of the other 99, or that kind of a thing.
So unique selling point is one of the first things. What's another thing you advise people to do right off the bat when they want to do it themselves?
Another thing I find people have an issue with is defining their target market.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, my USP includes my target market. So my USP is the leader in small business public relations. So my target market is small businesses, and my USP is that I'm the leader in that.
Okay.
Without going into too many semantics, because it's a process to come up with that.
Right.
the key is, sometimes I'll ask people who their target market is, and you know what I hear all the time, right?
Right.
Everybody. Everyone's my target market. Well, if that's the case, it's going to be really hard to market to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because that takes a lot of work, and then it's hard for you to be special to any particular niche.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people don't understand that sometimes if they're specialized, there's actually more opportunity than if they think they can be everything to everybody.
Oh, yeah, that is an issue. We all
yeah.
think that everybody can use what we're offering, and it's not the case. So once you sort of wrap your hands around those two all-important concepts, Margie, what sorts of things do you recommend that people do next? Let's say you've got somebody that, you know, they have defined their target market and their USP is well defined, but they know nothing about, you know, contacting a radio show or a magazine. What do they do?
Okay, let me just finish up because I didn't give you the third thing. I made it
sound
like there were only two.
Yeah,
I apologize. The third thing is goals. I find that you know, sometimes we assume people want to build a multi-million-dollar business, and some people just say, listen, I just want to make $100,000 a year and travel, you know, for 6 weeks every other month.
Right.
Okay, so reason why you need those things. If you have a USP, a target market, and goals, then you'll understand the. It's basically all the big picture stuff. You know, if your goal is really to stay kind of small, then you might not want to put a lot of money into something, or mm-hmm. you might want to keep things into a certain local area. You need to really see what you want to achieve, and then all these things basically drive your activities.
We're talking with Margie Zabel Fisher. She is the author of Do-It-Yourself Public Relations Kit and a contributing writer to Entrepreneur Magazine, and she's been sharing with us some great tips to get us started on doing our own PR as indie business owners. So, Margie, a lot of people have heard of PR, and they sort of relate it to a press release. Tell mm-hmm. us what a press release is and whether or not in today's technologically advanced business world, they're still relevant.
Well, I've written something recently talking about press releases, and I actually think they're relevant at this point for a slightly different way than we've done things traditionally.
Okay.
So, if you're looking to try and get media coverage, I personally don't like press releases. I prefer to create what I call a customized pitch, which is basically something written, usually a couple of paragraphs, with the important information that would appeal to a media contact,
mm-hmm.
and use that to try and get their interest. But I do think a press release is viable for something totally different, and that would be for search engine optimization.
Mm.
I have used this myself and for my clients, where we've created SEO-optimized press releases mm-hmm. so that when we send them out, that certain keywords are picked up by the search engines, and so we can drive website traffic.
Right, right. So, and SEO being search engine optimization, that's a really great tip, too.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Margie, you know what I think is really interesting, and I know that you've encountered this in your practice working with so many clients for such a long period of time, and that is, you know, the media world is changing so much, and I have almost... even in my own business, and when I work with members of IBM, it's like, you know, I suggest to people that in some way, shape, or form, you have to really become your own media outlet today. You have to have a blog. You've got to have, you know, a website. You have to really optimize those tools, mm-hmm. not in a strict SEO way that you were just talking about, but just in general to be effective. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really think so. You know, one of the things people should always do is every time someone comes to you and says they're interested in talking to you about doing business with you,
mm-hmm.
you should always find out where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, probably 90% of my stuff comes from Internet. And I have a pretty good network of people that I know, so I do get referrals, but people have found me in such incredible ways through my blogs, through search engines, through all kinds of articles I've written,
mm-hmm.
through things like radio and blog participation, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to be in a lot of places because people today receive their information in very fragmented ways. So unfortunately for us, we need to be in a lot of different places because we never know where people are going to find us.
That, you know, you just capitalized something that sounded so good. The fragmentation part, that was just a hugely valuable tip because we often think of how we get email, how we get information, and how fragmented it is for us. But imagine how it is for our customers.
True.
So that, you know, that in many ways, and I hope for people listening, I hope if you meditate on what Margie just said, and that is, you know, people sort of hear, oh, gosh, I need a blog, I need to do this, I need to do that, all this stuff coming at them in a vacuum. But what you just said capsulizes why it's important, that fragmentation. And, Margie, in your experience, does having these different outlets and being in these different places minimize that fragmentation for your target audience?
Well, I think it gives them ways to find you.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. I mean, we assume, you know, maybe I like to watch TV and get the news, which I don't, but let's say I did.
Right.
You know, other people may just say, listen, like my husband, he only goes online to get all his news.
Okay.
So you never, we can't assume anything about anyone. We never really understand what people are going through. So when we're all over the place, it's good because people can always find us one way or another.
And so, you know, you have a blog. Tell us a little bit about how your blog has helped your business. Is this something that is, for example, included in your DIY PR book?
Yep, I have a blog, and I have blogger friends. I've been written up in blogs, and I talk about blogging. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's a way, I like it for two reasons, or maybe three. One is it's a way to connect with people that you can't really do in any other way because you're supposed to be sharing your personal thoughts and feelings. So it's really one of the few ways you can do that in a legitimate way for your business. And I love it for SEO. Almost every type of blogging, well, not all, WordPress, which I use, is great for SEO, but, you know, drives traffic, and search engines love blogs because they're constantly updating content. So it's another way for people to find you through search engines. And, you know, so it's just a great way to get information out there to a lot of different types of people.
Wow. We're going to come back and talk with Margie Zabel-Fisher about some more great ways to reach out and do PR on your own. She is the author of the Do-It-Yourself PR Kit. What a great resource, Margie. We're going to come right back in just a minute. This is Indie Business Radio. We'll be right back. Don't touch that mouse.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Margie Zabel-Fisher, the author of Do-It-Yourself Public Relations Kit and a contributing writer to Entrepreneur Magazine at their website, entrepreneur.com. Margie, you've been providing such great tips. Now, I want to ask you, if someone's got their target market down, their unique selling point down, their goals are well-defined, and they look at all the things that they could do to do their own PR, or they've studied it or listened to shows like this or gotten your book, or subscribe to your newsletter, they've done all that, and they're like, you know what, I still don't want to do this. Can they hire someone to do it for them? And if so, what do they look for? How do you hire someone to do this kind of work for you?
Sure. Of course, you can. There's lots of PR people out there. You can hire someone. You know, the best ways to do it would be to ask other people for referrals or to look online, check out websites, see what kind of experience people have, if they've had experience working with companies or industries similar to yours, if they've had experience getting the kind of publicity you're looking for, like national media or TV, local media, that kind of thing. Really do your research and see if it's a good fit. Make sure you talk to the person and see if you're connecting, whether by phone or in person. If you can kind of tell real quick whether or not you have a good vibe with someone else, and I think that's really important too.
So, I mean, is it expensive? I know it probably runs the gamut because every PR firm is different. But how do you know what to pay and how to hire someone?
Well, there's so much stuff out there, and PR people are very creative.
And how do you, you know, let me ask it this way, too, then, because I just had a phone conversation last week with someone who, an IBN member, actually, who had hired someone, not you, and not anyone that I had ever heard of, actually, which doesn't, it's not always a bad thing. Of course, I don't know everyone, but it's just really interesting. What happened to her was she actually paid a pretty big upfront fee, signed a contract, and then found out that the person had put up, this PR person had actually put up in her portfolio media that was obtained for her client by another, either on the client's own or by someone else. And, you know, of course, you know, it's the Internet, so you can find anything. But what are some of the signs? Or how do you look for someone so that maybe you can try to avoid having something like that happen to you? You know, acknowledging, of course, that that's the exception, not the rule. How can you, you know, what kinds of questions do you ask to sort of satisfy yourself that you are engaging someone who's more than likely, you know, other than the personality matching, more than likely going to be effective for you?
The number one thing you should do, and this is with any type of business arrangement where you're paying for especially professional services, everything, especially PR, you should always get three references, and you should call those references and ask a lot of questions.
Call them up. So
call them up.
Pick up the phone and actually talk to someone.
Yeah, no, I put my references actually on my website, which is a little unusual because maybe it's a little crazy, but I get that question all the time, which I think is smart, and I basically say, you know, anyone I've listed, and I get permission, of course, as a reference, is willing to talk to you on my behalf in any way, shape, or form. So, you know, it might be someone that's local. I do national work, so maybe they know someone, they've seen their name in Colorado and they want to call them, or maybe in New York or whatever. But I think people are crazy not to call three references. It's totally worth it, and they should do the same with an accountant, with an admin assistant, anyone they want to hire, whether it's internal or outsourced. Always get three references and ask detailed questions.
And so what are some of the things that a PR person might be able to do for you that you can't do yourself effectively?
Well, the thing I find the most, because I'm a big proponent, as you know, of doing your own PR, since I wrote the book on it, the thing that people have the hardest time with is following up and making phone calls. Those are the two things. You know, one of the issues is people get their information together, they send out the information, and they kind of sit back and say, la-da-da-da-da, why didn't I hear anything?
Right.
Well, you know, it doesn't work that way. In the PR world, you constantly have to follow up, and it's a lot of work. And you have to be organized, you have to be systematic, and you have to be willing to do it. And the other thing is, I do send out plenty of emails, but I'm also a big fan of making phone calls.
Right.
And for some people, you know, they'd rather chop off their head than make a phone call.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, and I understand that. You know, that I just like I'd rather do something else than do, you know, engineering or something. But, you know, if you're not willing to do those things and they just totally turn you off, then it's something you might want to consider outsourcing.
Oh, so a big part of it is not only, you know, having something good to say about your business to a media outlet that's a match for it, but also being able to have the time to follow up. And that's difficult for indie business owners, particularly moms like you and me who are doing everything.
It is. You know, it's not impossible. And what I tell people to do then is, you know, if time's an issue but you still want to do it, then just pick a handful of outlets. I mean, you don't have to choose thousands of outlets. Pick four or five that you're really interested in, especially ones that you're familiar with, like Working Mother magazine you mentioned, right? And by the way, that was a great placement.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's great stuff. But, you know, I get Working Mother magazine. I like Working Mother magazine. I am a working mother, so I'm super familiar with it.
Right.
So if a business owner, you know, indie business owner is thinking about maybe they make soap, okay? We'll use your soap example.
Okay.
It would be great for moms or kids or whatever. And they're very familiar with a magazine. They get it. It's much easier then to consider creating a pitch that would be useful because they know, they read the magazine, they have it, they know the different columns and departments. It's going to be easier to put something together.
Right, right. So be familiar with the outlet that you're pitching to. You know what's so interesting? Of course, I know you hear this all the time. How many clients or inquiries do you get from new people who contact you and ask you how long it's going to take to get into, like, Oprah or the Wall Street Journal or something like that?
Those are my top questions.
Okay.
They always ask me that. How long will it take?
Right.
If it's possible.
Right.
And I always say anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it depends what your story is, what your budget is, what your timeline is, you know, how flexible you are, all those kinds of things.
Right. So it's variable, and nobody can promise you anything. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're...
No one should promise you anything.
It's a red herring if they do, huh?
If they do, yeah, then I would start to worry.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So, Margie, tell me about what you think about a person who's doing this for the first time, their business has just started. What do you think about just trying to share your story and your products with people in your own backyard in local publications?
I think that's really a great place to start. That's well put, because the local media always wants to cover local businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So for sure, you should always approach your local newspaper, local TV, your radio, depending on what kind of product or service you have, because they will automatically be interested in you just because you're a local business, whereas national stuff, you're competing with people nationally. It takes a little bit more work.
And do you find that if you do get that hit in that local publication and you put up, they take a picture of you for their magazine or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you put it up at your website, people don't care that it's not Oprah, right?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're on Oprah, people are going to be more impressed.
Right.
Okay, but, you know, I mean, if you're in the local paper, that's great, too, because I'm sure you have, assuming you have some local business.
Mm-hmm.
But it does a couple things for you.
Okay.
First of all, it gives you credibility no matter what, because the media is still the media. If you're really not legit, then they're not going to want to cover you. Okay?
Okay?
So it's credibility. And it gives you something really important, and that is media interview experience. You know, I mean, we can talk a lot about, I can train you on how to deal with the media and all that kind of stuff, but until you do it, you won't really understand the nuances of it. So starting locally is really great, especially if you have aspirations to go national, because you're using it as your first steps, and if you make any mistakes, it's not going to be so bad versus making a mistake at a bigger level.
It's not on national TV.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, so there are so many indie business owners that really want to be able to, you know, get out there and kind of make a splash in these kind of media outlets. Tell us a little bit about what you recommend, Margie, for people who, you know, want to get out there, but they really want to maximize technology to do that. What kinds of things can those types of people do to get the word out about their businesses?
Well, I think using things like PR Web or PR Newswire to do these search engine optimized press releases are always helpful to drive web traffic.
And is that discussed in your book as well?
Yep, that's
okay,
in my
great.
Book, and it's on my website.
Right.
Those are very inexpensive ways to do a press release distribution.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Usually for a couple $100, you can include anchor text and SEO keywords.
Mm-hmm.
They're really,
right.
really helpful. Yeah, and I recommend that.
And so we can get your book and all this information at your website. Tell us what that is.
Okay, the website is zfpr.com, so that would be Z like zebra, F like Frank, P like public, R like relations.com.
Okay, and your book and everything is there.
Yes, you would look under products.
Okay.
And the book is my best-selling product,
okay.
but we also have other products like on how to sell to get your product into Target stores and several others
right.
as well.
What are two or three of the top mistakes that people make when they get started doing their own PR, and how do we avoid them?
Okay, let's see. I wrote something about this, and I'm going to have to pull it from my memory. Okay. Number one is not understanding the media outlet and not researching it.
Mm.
By far. People, here's a perfect example. People always tell me they want to get on Oprah. And then they tell me what they do, and I'll say to them, well, what sort of story angle were you thinking of? And they'll say they don't know. And
it's Oprah, Margie.
Well, yeah, and then I'll say...
Can't you make that out?
They call me relentless for a reason, so I keep asking questions, and I'll say,
right.
Okay, well, when was the last time you watched Oprah? Well, I never watched Oprah. This is the most typical comment I get.
Okay.
Especially from business folks, people in business services. And I said, well, let me just tell you, you know, Oprah doesn't cover, they're like, you know, I'm this kind of business something or other. I'm like, that's not right. what Oprah covers.
Right.
Oprah you if you were doing, like, you know, if you created this huge thing for children in New York City for free and you help, like, you know, disadvantaged people, you know, if we created something around that, then that's more viable. But, you know, just to say, you know, I'm a great professional and I want to be on Oprah doesn't work. So, you know, to say I want to be on Oprah and please tell me how and I'll do whatever it takes is totally different than saying, yeah, get me on Oprah.
Right.
The end. So, you know, and if you're not willing to do the work, again, then you need to hire someone to do it because someone, that's a lot of what I spend my time on is I get 4 newspapers a day, I get 30 magazines a month, I read things online, I watch TV. A lot of it is understanding what's going on in the media.
Right.
And it takes time.
Right. So not understanding the media outlet that you're trying to reach, what are some other mistakes?
I think, again, not differentiating yourself enough, kind of becoming in love with your own story, not understanding what the media wants to hear and what people want to hear about.
Because they really don't want the same old that was in the publication or on the show last week.
Right. Like, I'll have clients, retailers especially, that'll say to me, I just had a grand opening. You know, where's the media? And I'll say, well, do you want to read about, you know, unless it's, you know, the new IKEA, that, you know, or something
right.
like that.
Right.
You know, assuming it's a small retailer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you want to read about that in the newspaper, or would you rather read, from a business perspective, someone who is, you know, doing great in a down economy and what you can learn from them?
Okay? Right.
So, you know, and the other thing people don't realize is they need to understand, another mistake is, what's going on in the media.
Uh-huh.
So if there are themes going on, or if there's a really hot story that people are working on, if you're not tied in some way, shape, or form, there is no way you're getting through to anybody unless you have that tie-in. So you really need to be aware of not just your target market, but your media target market, and make sure you understand both.
Right. Those are some great tips, Margie. Thank you for those. Tell us again how we can find you online and subscribe to your newsletter.
Sure. You can find me online at zfpr.com, which is Z like zebra, F like Frank, P like public, R like relations.com, zfpr.com. And we do have a free weekly newsletter as well. So please feel free to subscribe to that. We include free publicity opportunities, and I do a feature article each week that people say they enjoy. And Donna, I think you get my newsletter. You said you like that as well, I hope.
I do. I do enjoy it. And that's why I said I want this lady on my show.
Oh, great. Great. So, yeah, we have, you know, we do believe, I love small businesses. I love being a small business, indie business. And, you know, my goal is to help as many people really achieve the American dream as possible, which is, again, living a great life and doing what you want to do.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Margie. We are going to wrap things up, but before I go, I want to invite you to attend my group coaching session this Thursday, May 8th at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We have covered email newsletters, we've covered blogging, we've covered honing in on your target market, and this month, the month of May, we are going to be covering the OR of PR. That's right, even more on this more important issue of getting you and your products featured in media outlets that will not only build your business beyond your wildest dreams, but also position it for the future as an asset that you can sell or pass along to your descendants. That's right. I always look at things from this perspective. You won't be here forever, but your business can continue without you, but only if you make sure you spread the word far and wide enough to make a lasting difference. This month's group coaching is going to tell you how to do that, and guess what? It's free. That's right, free. But only members of IBN will be able to listen to it later. So if you're not a member, you've got to subscribe to my blog at indiebusinessblog.com so you can be notified about the call-in information so you can join us. Remember that you can stream or download all of my Indie Business Radio shows. There are over 100 of them now at indiebusinessradio.com, all 100% free at your disposal, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Join the discussion with me at indiebusinessblog.com, too. I will see you there. I'll talk with you Thursday night. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.